Blog Talk Radio.
Yah commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear Yah, our Elohim, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before Yah, our Elohim, as he has commanded us. Praise you, Father Yah.
I will not have any other Elohim before you, nor bow down to any graven images too. I will take the name of Yah, my Elohim, in vain.
With his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. You therefore, which teacheth another yourself, you that preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You that say a man should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You that abhorrest idols, do you commit sacrilege? You that makes your boast of the Torah. Through breaking the Torah, dishonors you, Elohim. For the name of Elohim is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keepest the Torah. But if thou be a breaker of the Torah, your circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the Torah, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the Torah, judge you, who by the letter and circumcision do transgress the Torah? For he is not a Yahudi, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Yahudi, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of Elohim. Hallelujah. Beshem Yahushua HaMashiach. Bowing the knees of our heart, Abba. Thanking you, Abba, for the blessing of life. Thanking you, Abba, for the blessing and the privilege to see another day. Thanking you, Abba, for the blessing and the privilege of entering into one of your holy days. Abba, in the name of your Son, we come before you and we beseech you to please give ear to our prayer. Abba, on behalf of Yisrael, I thank you for the blessing you bestowed, Abba, for allowing us to fellowship. I thank you, Abba, for allowing us to converse about your word. I thank you, Abba, for allowing each and every one of us to arrive safely in returning to our homes. And I pray, Abba, as we enter into Shemini Atzeret, the last great day of this feast, that you open our heart, that you open our mind, that we may receive your word, that we may receive your instruction. Abba, I beseech you in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach to engrave upon each and every one of our hearts and our minds the word that you delivered through your Mure throughout the course of this festive season. Abba, I pray in the name of Yahushua that you continue to be gracious and merciful to us all, that you forgive each and every one of us, Abba, for the sin that we have committed against you, that you cleanse each and every one of us, Abba, by the blood of Yahushua, which was shed for us all, of our iniquity. Abba, I pray for strength as always, strength that we may all continue in your word as your Talmudim, that we may know your truth individually, that we may overcome whatever it is that hinders us in our walk with you. Either whatever that may be, if it is a physical hindrance, if it is a mental or emotional hindrance, if it is a spiritual hindrance, Abba, I pray that you lead us that we may overcome. Abba, I don't ask that you remove any obstacle from our pathway, but rather that you strengthen us to overcome each and every obstacle that we may face as we walk with you. Abba, help each of us. Strengthen each of us. For the body of Mashiach, Yahushua, is under attack, Abba. I pray that you shield us with your word, Abba. Unbelief, Abba. that we may all stand firmly on your word. So we are not shaken nor tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, Abba. But you teach us, Abba, through your Son, as you promised you would in your word. Abba, when Mashiach, Yahushua, said he needed to go away, promised that he would send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name, Abba, according to your will, and that the Holy Spirit, Abba, would lead and guide us to all truth, Abba. Abba, we pray for your truth, and we pray that you open our hearts, that you open our minds, that you open our ears that we may hear you speak, that you open our eyes that we may behold the wondrous truth within your Torah, Abba, that we be not conformed to this world, Abba, but that each and every one of us transform by the renewing of our mind. Abba, as we enter into this double Shabbat, strengthen us all and feed us, Abba, with the truth of your word, that we may walk in faithfulness, that we may rely on you through Yahushua for our every need, Abba. We humbly and we sincerely ask you in Yahushua's holy and most precious name to please give ear to our prayer. Abba, in closing, for those who are suffering that we are aware of, we pray that you send comfort, More Dewa, to Zakin Amin'a, to Zakin Mate'a, and whosoever it be in the congregation of Israel that are suffering from physical ailments, Abba, we pray that you give them comfort, that they be able to bask in your glory and have peace of mind on your holy days. I beseech you in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, gracious and merciful. Hallelujah. And welcome to Bina Torah, Understanding the Torah, for our special Shemini Atzeret edition. And I wanted to, before I get into the lesson for today, just to remind everybody, or ask everybody, and it is still a reminder, have you accepted Yahushua HaMashiach as your Savior and as your Redeemer? Have you accepted the salvation Abba has provided for us, which is very important? Even if you're not doing everything that the Torah requires us to do, if we at least have accepted the sacrifice that was made for us all, we have a guaranteed entrance into the kingdom of Yah. You know, one of the thoughts that Abba put on my heart and my mind is that when I wake up every day, in addition to hallelujah for the blessing of seeing another day, also to acknowledge that you accept Yahushua HaMashiach as your Savior and as your Redeemer every single day. Now, maybe that's something that you don't want to do. I'm just sharing with you all something that he put on my heart to do, following suit. Each time that Abba gives me the opportunity, because it is an opportunity, it's a privilege, it's a blessing to be able to stand in the stead of the Most High, to stand before him, to speak for him, to speak for you, to speak to you, to share the many wondrous truths of his word that he has revealed. And it is a blessing. And I'm thankful for the, once again, opportunity to be able to do that. I also want to explain once again, since this is something fairly new that we are doing, this particular teaching happening in the evening that he has in store for us. And the worship that he wants to take place in this place that he has in store for us. So we want to get accustomed that on every high holy day, as we do on Shabbat, to have an evening, a morning, and an afternoon service. Now, as I was stating, this is fairly new, so we're still working out some of the kinks, if you will. Most high willing, when the spring heat come back around, things will be a little more on point so we can do these teachings accordingly. Okay, so for tonight, we will be continuing our current topic, Asheret Hadvarim, the 10 words. And we're coming down the home stretch, everybody. This is the ninth command. Now, if you can hear me before I go any further, shoot me a text to let me know that I'm coming through clearly, without a bye. Now, the opening passages come from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, and Romans chapter 2, verses 21 through 29. And we wanted to start off with that because of the previous command that we looked at, the eighth command, you shall not steal. And I believe it is very significant when you look at the passages that we open with. According to what we read, not only does Yahweh not want us to steal, he commands us to labor. Think about that, and we'll move on to the ninth commandment. This is Ephesians 4:28. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. Now, what you are being, or what, rather what we are being taught from that, he's commanding us to labor so that we have enough to give to those who don't have. Now, in turn, and you think about it, if we are working to make sure not only that our families are taken care of, but that we have enough to give to others, that will also alleviate them not having to steal as well. And when you think about that, well, how in the world am I going to work to try to support myself and other people? Well, this is how we got to look at this thing. If Abba is commanding us to do so, that means it's going to make the provisions for you to do just that. And don't focus so much on what you can do. Remember, as Israel, we are all vessels of the Most High. That's it. The sooner we can come to grasp that reality, the more Abba is able to use us to fulfill his desire, his purpose. Okay? So I thought that was an interesting passage to start off with, because when we think about the Torah, we never want to lose sight of the foundation, which is love. And when you think about that, you basically have a circle of love. That's what he's doing. Command in Torah is based on that principle. Everyone. And as a reminder, when we go through the Torah, okay, what we've been talking about, because the Torah is based on love, and two points that I want people to consider as we go through, and this is another reminder, that literally speaking, all right, command is an extension of the very first command. Okay, keep that in mind. Okay. Secondly, each command also serves as the basis for other commands in Torah. And we're going to see an example of that as we go through the commandment today, the ninth command. All right? So in Shemot, which is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16, passage reads, Lo va'ane bre'aka et shekir. Translated, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Okay? Why did the Most High incorporate this command within the 10 words? Okay? Term translated as bear. We want to look at that first. You find that in number 6030. That word is anah. Anah. It states properly to I, and that E-Y-E, as in the I that you see with, to I, or generally, to heed. That is pay attention. By implication, to respond. Begin to speak. But then it says specifically, to sing, shout, testify, announce. It has the legal sense of witness to, about, against, to testify in some context. Now, this is actually the context of the ninth command. That's why the emphasis was on testify in the definitions and in Strong's. Okay? Key word for the ninth command is emet or amet, which is true in the sense of being honest. Okay? Now, two passages we want to look at. The first one comes from, or both of them actually, come from Tehillim, which is Psalms. Chapter 31, verse 5, which reads, Into your hand I commend my spirit. You redeem me, Yahweh, Elohim of truth. So when it comes to truth, what we have to also realize, truth is a part of the characteristic, the personality of the Creator. So let's take your mind back now, because in Bereshit or Genesis, we are taught that humanity is made in the image and the likeness of Elohim. Okay? What that is saying is, initial thought when creating mankind was that we be a replica, if you will. He was replicating himself. And by replicating himself, we should also bear the exact same character and personality of the Most High. Take your mind back to our Shabbat lesson, okay, where Brother Shaul says we should speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among us, that we should have the same mind, have the same judgment, etc., right? Unity, the same mind, oneness, the same mind. Why same mind? What we are actually holding is the exact same character, the same personality. Now, like I mentioned during the other teaching, doesn't mean we're going to be robotic and mimicking everybody word for word, or one another rather, word for word. That's not what's being said. But as far as the thought process and how we view the world, we're going to see it through the exact same eyes as the Most High. Now, because we are different individuals, we may relate or convey information differently, but the information will still be the same. Okay, and I'm not going to stay on that point too much, but I just wanted to emphasize the fact that Yahweh Elohim of truth, meaning that we, if we are in his image and his likeness, should also be of truth. It's the ninth command. Our next passage Tehillim, once again with the Psalms, chapter 51, verse 6. It says, behold, you desire truth in the inward part. Think about that now. So now you're talking about what the Most High desires. He desires truth in whose inward parts? Our inward parts. And when he says our inward parts, what is he talking about? He's talking about our mind. He's talking about our heart even, the seat, the center of our being. He wants us to change. He wants us, as the scripture teaches, to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And if our mind is being renewed, what is it being renewed to? The mind of Mashiach. So there's something going on, starting at the first command. We've gone through the previous eight. Now we're on the ninth. Now the emphasis is on truth inwardly. You see? Why? Because we're striving to be like Yisrael. He said, I am holy, so I expect you to be holy. Right? He rested on the seventh day, so he expects us to rest on the seventh day. He gives these examples that we should follow after his footsteps. He is a mighty one of truth, so he desires truth in our inward parts. That means we have to change. We're going to see some examples of how we are, why it is necessary for us to make that change. Okay? So another passage is Mishlei, which is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25, which reads, a true, that's our word I met again, a true witness delivers souls. Listen to that. A true witness delivers souls. In other words, going back to what was stated earlier, we are vessels of the Most High. The Most High took that warm humanity, gave humanity the ability of reproduction so that we can be fruitful and multiply and create other human beings so that the family is expanded, right? For the purpose of being a vessel. Now, he understood what was going to take place when you look at the scenario in the garden, Bereshit chapter 3 or Genesis chapter 3, the fall of humanity. He was aware of that. But he's also aware that within humanity, there are going to be chosen vessels. And these chosen vessels are supposed to be true witnesses that the Creator is going to use to do what? To deliver souls. What are we talking about? We're talking about salvation now. We're talking about salvation. It taught us that the Most High is a mighty one of truth. It taught us that he desires truth in our inward parts. And he taught us that a true witness delivers souls, but then he goes on to say, but a deceitful witness speaks lies. Okay? And this is based on the idea of the bearing false witness against your neighbor. Okay? But we want to look at something else before we turn. We want to look at in that passage is the word neighbor. Now, what exactly does it mean when he says neighbor? And it's interesting because in the Brit HaKadoshah or the New Testament, someone asked Yahushua the exact same question. Who is my neighbor? So what we want to do, we want to take a look at that term as it is used in Ivri or Hebrew. Okay? So the word comes from 7453. Okay, the word is reya, and it says an associate, more or less close. okay? More or less close. And associate. It says, most frequently, this term is used to refer to the second party in a personal interaction without indicating any particular relationship. Okay? Now, it's derived from number 7462. All right? Take a brief look at 7462. Which is ra'a. Ra'a. And it means to tend. Okay? To tend. And it says a flock in the sense of to pasture it, etc. Okay? But to tend. Now, when you go back to number 7453, some of the terms or some of the passages that this word is used there for neighbor has also been translated as a lover, Hosea chapter 3 and verse 1. It has also been translated as a close friend. We look at Job chapter 2 and 11. So depending on the context, who is your neighbor? As the Messiah brought forth in the parable after he was asked a question, your neighbor is anyone that you associate with, anyone that you or we associate with, an associate, okay? So, you shall not bear false against your neighbor. That's what he said. All right, so, look at a few other passages. Now, in Shemot, or Exodus chapter 23, starting at verse 1, we're going to turn to that. Now, remember, when we started off this journey, going through the 10 words, the 10 commands. We first started off talking about the covenant, and I want to do this too while I'm here and while I'm mentioning that. And every one of you, whosoever's listening, an opportunity, and I'm thankful that we have this archive to give you an opportunity to actually study these things. You know, and I want to encourage everyone at this point. Sometimes when you get a chance, just go back and listen to these, okay, because there's a lot of pertinent information there. I know that everybody may listen to it the week that it comes out, but if you go back and you regurgitate it, you know, that's how you achieve knowledge. You know, think about this. And we talked about this as well. Created certain animals and he gave them certain capabilities. And then he said that these particular animals are animals that we can consume because of these particular qualities, one of which is the chewing of the cud, which is the regurgitation. Basically what that means is repetition, okay? So if we want to have an understanding and we want to make that transformation to the mind of the Most High, what we have to do, we have to repeat. You know, think about school, and we've discussed this many times. I've talked about it. The other Murray have talked about it. Think about school. Think about the process that you went through in school. When you go to the class in the morning, this is what I can recall. I don't know how they do it today, but I'm talking from my personal experience being in school. When we get into that classroom, the first thing we had the students was the drill. Typically, the drill was the information that you went through the previous day. Now, not to mention the fact that the previous day you got homework about the same information. You may have been in a particular chapter, for example, depending on the class that you were in. So you'll say you was in chapter 5. So for the homework, chapter 5 classwork was, you know, going through whatever that information was, and they may have at the end of the chapter several little questions that you're supposed to answer or discuss in the class. But then they also had additional questions that you can answer when you go home for the homework. So then when you come in and do the drill, they're going to ask you questions pertaining to the information you just went through the previous day to make sure that you are remembering what you're being taught. Thing I want to say about this in regard to the knowledge of the Most High, there is somewhat of a difference. And here's what the difference is. And had opportunity to talk to one of my brothers during Sukkot, you know, hallelujah. When it comes to the word of the Most High, is it important to study? Yes, because the Torah says so. Study to show yourself approved. Okay? We're not studying necessarily to memorize what the scriptures say. That's not what we're studying for. We're studying to gain a better understanding of what it is that the Most High is saying. He is not really concerned with whether or not we can quote scriptures. The Creator is more so concerned with whether or not we understand his word. That's why Kaneh Bina, get understanding. See, that's the most important thing. Because once you understand the word, you can now repeat the word. You can convey the word to somebody else and not necessarily quote it verbatim, but you can give it to them in your own words. See? You can present it to them by using different experiences that you've been through to come to the reality of what this passage means. You don't have to quote the scripture, chapter and verse. Now, if you can do that, that's fine. The why, which I've come to understand, is one of the most important questions. Of course, the who, what, where, when are important questions depending on the topic that you're looking at, that you're studying. But I've also come to find why. Why did you say this, Father? Why did you say you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor? There's a reason why. There's a reason why he started with the first one and went to the second, all the way down to where we are, the ninth. There's a reason behind it. Why? You don't get that just reading it one time. You eventually come to that knowledge by repetition, which is why Mashiach said this, which you've heard again many different times. But we're talking about what? Repetition. Can you see? Now, if you get a chance, do a reference on that word continue. And what you're going to find is this. The word translated as continue in the Greek language is another place the Messiah says to abide in me. Okay? When he says abide, it's the same word, continue. Over and over, continue in my word, abide in me. He says, if we continue in his word, what we're doing, we are acknowledging that we want to learn. That's why he says, then are you my Talmidim or my disciples. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you shall know the truth. But, you know, you're not going to get it just reading it one time. You know, years ago, Turn that word. In other words, that's the repetition. See? Turn that word. Do you want to understand the ways of the Most High? Turn that word. Read that word. And I'm saying all this to encourage everybody, go back and listen to these lessons. We did it. Brother just mentioned the other day how what we had to do, we didn't have the privilege of, you know, everything being digital. You know, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have the internet back then. We had to use the old school way. We had an old school tape recorder and some cassette tapes. It was done. Everybody wanted to get a copy, hot off the press. Of course, the copies couldn't come that fast, but when we get them, what you do, you take that copy home, you pop it in, and you listen to it. And then you go over it with the notes that you've taken. And once again, how many of you are taking notes? Take notes. Matter of fact, I've learned one of the best ways to remember something is to write it down. Take notes. And I'm saying all of this, if you really desire the mind of Mashiach, there are things we can do. Yes, the Most High can reveal to you by his Spirit. But we also have to be worthy of that revelation. You see? He doesn't want us to be lackadaisical when it comes to his word. He wants us to put in a genuine effort, just like we do whenever we have a desire to do anything else that we want to do. We pursue it. That's what Abba wants. If you want me, pursue me. Come after me. Just like we do with anything else. So that's the telltale sign as to whether or not we really want Abba. You know, today, going home, and one of the sisters posted how she felt sad. I felt sad today. I don't know, when I was riding down Route 40 on my way home, I felt a heaviness come over me. I really did, tearful. But the reason why is because something that was said, and I believe we may have talked about it before, but sometimes when people say different things, it's just that reminder. But do you all realize that during Sukkot, it's the only time of the year that we really live together as a family? And that touched me. You know, the joy of waking up and going down to the community site, knowing I'm going to see my sisters and my brothers table, and we're going to talk over breakfast. Ain't that what families do? And, you know, we may go about our day, you know, because we're on somewhat of a vacation. So we may be resting. You know, we may be doing other things. But then here comes lunchtime, and you're back at the community site, and you're sitting down, and you're having a meal, breaking bread with your family, talking about their work. And we talked general conversation. We had a good time last night. You know, I was saying, we always wait till the last night to have fun. It's like we always want to go out with a bang. But we enjoyed our company. And, you know, packing up today and heading down that road, and I felt that heaviness because it's over. This week that Abba blesses us with every year for us to come together and live like a family is over. But now you get so hyped, you know, can't wait to Sukkot next year, you know. That's how I feel anyway, and I think other people may have the same sentiment. But I was with you there, my sister, when you said that. I really did feel a sadness today, and I wasn't saying that just to co-sign what you said. I mean, I really did feel that way, you know. And I understand why. During this time, you know what we're getting a preview of? We're getting a little preview of what it's going to be like in the kingdom. You know, think about it. And throughout the course of the week, you know, some people talk about that. Matter of fact, I believe one of the Moray, he was touching on it. If it wasn't last night, it was the night prior. You know, when you go to work, there's not a lot of people at work that believe what you believe. You can't really, you know, sit and discuss the word with people without getting the backlash. But when we're around each other, we can sit and we can feed off each other, and we can talk, and we can build with each other, and, you know, like the scripture says, that iron sharpening that iron. And it feels good. It's like you can be free, you know, when you're with your family. You can talk about things, and I feel you, brother. I hear where you're coming from, sister. You feel it. And you love that. You know, drawing from each other, learning from each other. That's a little preview, a minuscule version of what it's going to be like for us in the kingdom. See? That's why he gives us these appointed times. You know? These sacred moments. And he wants us to come together, and he wants us to feel that bond. He wants us to feel that love that we have for one another, that love that we all share for his word. And we build on that. He wants us to build on that. That's why he set that time aside for us. You see? It's a special time. Then on top of that, you infuse within these times his presence. Stay right here. We're still going. You know, we got hours left. You know, we're still in it. You know? So, in Exodus chapter 23, and I mentioned going back and listening to some of the earlier teachings so that we understand this particular part is what was comprised in the book that Moshe put the blood on and put it in the ark. It was called the Book of the Covenant. Well, in the Book of the Covenant, what you find is that the Creator began to elaborate on the 10 words. And the passage right here, we're going to see. He says in Exodus 20:1, you shall not spread a false report. What he's doing now, he's building, he's adding to what he said when he gave the 10 words. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. So now I'm going to give you some more information to substantiate what it is that I'm telling you. So he says, you shall not spread a false report. Don't join your hand with the wicked to be a malicious witness. Think about that. You know? Think about how we commit this sin or this crime like we talked before. You know, this is a crime. We're talking about now, we're going to utilize what everybody calls it, law. This is the law. So if you break the law, that means you are a criminal. A sinner equals criminal. So if you don't want to be viewed as a criminal in the eyes of the Most High, we're supposed to keep these laws, obey these laws, okay? He says, verse 2, listen to this. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Think about the world today. You know, in our society today, the majority rules. You know, even when you look at what people believe to be a small congregation like ours, right? If they only knew and understood. But that's what people look at. They don't want to be a part of no small congregation. Don't even have a place of worship. You mean to tell me y'all be going out to the park and fellowshipping? That's where y'all be having worship at. In the park, Druid Hill Park, in the hood, by the zoo. Oh my, people do that. They don't understand. See, they think because I go to the Crystal Cathedral that has 1,000 members, that means something to the Creator. That don't mean nothing to us. See, if people really understood that word, and see, that's the problem. You know, people don't have that understanding. That's why I go, again, kane, bina, get understand. People don't have that understanding. They think they know something. They think they know. If you understood what the word said, you see, what you will come to realize is that you're on that broad and that wide way where the scripture said it's going to lead to destruction. That's where you at. See, you're not on that narrow. You know, you're talking about something being narrow. You're talking about something that it's going to take some work to get through this little space. And then you talk about being straight. It's going to be difficult. And then on top of that, he went as far as to say, few, a little bit. It's only going to be a few people that find it. You know what that means? That means you got to look for it. People don't want to look. People want something that's ready-made that they can just jump right into. When they open up the door, they see a whole bunch of people with like minds. playing church.
The clan ain't there.
They think he there. That's not where he is, though. He's among those people that have like minds, who have a desire, like the scriptures say, who hunger and thirst for his righteousness, not our own, his righteousness. It doesn't make a difference what the majority says, because the majority is not what determines what the truth is. It's his word that does that. See, as he's teaching us in his word, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil. He said, you shall not testify in court to side with a multitude to pervert justice. See, when you get to the basis of this command, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, it's talking about a courtroom setting, and the brother's been talking about that on Yahweh's judgment. Courtroom setting. Don't false witness. But that's not all it's talking about. Okay? He says, verse 3, you shall not favor a poor man in his cause. All of these things is related to judging. When it comes to making a decision regarding somebody, just because a person is poor don't mean you need to have favor towards them. And he's going to flip it. He wants to say the reverse too. In other words, what the creator wants, he wants, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of him who hates you falling down under his burden, don't leave him. You shall surely help him. So he's talking about, again, human relation. And that's the purpose of these last few commands that we're looking at. Remember, the first five commands is directly related to our relationship with the Creator. And these last commands that we're going through, the last five commands, is directly related to our relationship with one another. Okay? So he included this while he's breaking down this ninth command in regards to how we're supposed to deal with our so-called enemies. He doesn't want us to be hateful. This is the Old Testament teaching that. I'm going to read it again. Verse 4, if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. This, he's talking about what you should do to your enemy. If you see the donkey of him who hates you falling down under his burden, don't leave him. You shall surely help him with it. He's talking about how you're supposed to treat your enemy. Okay? Verse 6. You shall not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. And that's the flip side. Just because a person poor, I don't want you to have favor to them. Just because a person poor and they can't afford, you know, Johnny Cochran, that don't mean you throw the book at them. And when you look at that, think about this. You know, people talk about the United States, and I actually started watching a movie earlier when I got home. And it's in the series God Is Not Dead. So they got a new one that just dropped, if anybody interested in watching it. I think it just came out last week. This is the fourth one, and it's God Is Not Dead, but it's about the government now, and it's about homeschooling and how the government, or in the movie anyway, is actually against the homeschooling. And I wouldn't be surprised if that actually happens for real, you know. But anyway, point being, when you look at the government, there is some truth when you look at the foundation of our United States government as they define it being a Judeo-Christian government, you know. And the reason why they define it that way is because many of the teachings of the Torah have been incorporated in our laws. And when you look at this, for example, he said, you shall not deny justice to your poor in their lawsuits. So what you have what's called the public defender. If a person is unable to afford an attorney will be appointed for you to make sure you have legal representation. Where do you think they get that from? That comes from the word. That's where they get it from. As many other things comes from the word. This is the system. But, and the other part of that is this. No, when we look at that, I don't want people to think we need to become gung-ho for the government. No, they pick and choose some things from the word. You got to understand that as well. They pick and choose. This just so happened to be something they pick. That is a good thing, you know. But there's some things that they're doing in this government system that's totally contrary to Torah. So we got to keep an open mind about that, all right? So let's get back to our passage, Exodus 23, starting at verse 7. Charge. And don't kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. Now think about that. Now, in our country, now you have certain states who have the death penalty. Some states don't have it. I don't know which ones do or don't, but from my understanding, some do, some don't. Don't you know you have people who have been put to death that didn't even commit the crime? Don't you know you have people serving time who did not commit the crime they're serving time for? I've heard many cases throughout the years, and some of you probably heard them too, about people who are locked up for many years, and then they come to find out some other evidence or some maybe somebody came clean and said it wasn't this, it was that, or whatever the case may be. And then they eventually let them go after they've been locked up for maybe 20, 25, 30 years. That's an unjust system. But people not looking at it that way. Well, you know, they look at it like an oopsie, we made a mistake. But here's what we got to understand about the system that the Most High was established. That's why the pertinent message that has never changed. What's the message of your congregation? The message of every congregation should be repent, the kingdom of Yah is at hand. Period. That's the message. Repent, for the kingdom of Yah is at hand. Now, got to take it a step further. If you're talking about the kingdom of Yah, kingdom, government, the government of Yah. Government is based on what? Law. Every government is based on law. They even have it in the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You think they actually live in that? Of course not. It's a contradictory message. In one minute, they say, your kingdom come, your will be done. In the other minute, they say, you don't have to keep the law, you're under grace. Contradictory. There's an understanding now that has to come about with this word, you see. If the message is repent, what are we repenting? What are we repenting from? That means you're turning away from doing something wrong. And it ain't smoking and drinking, like a lot of people say, like a lot of people have been led to believe, smoking and drinking as being a sin. They talk about fornication and adultery too. But how many people understand, for example, we're entering into a high holy day right now. To the world, it's just going to be Friday. That's a sin, doing servile work on this day. How many people you think even accept that? They're going to be going back and forth doing whatever it is that they do, just like we see every Sabbath. While we out at the park, people doing whatever it is they want to do on the Sabbath day, not realizing they're breaking the law. You are a criminal in the eyes of the Most High. You're breaking the law. Here we go with that legalism. No, it's not about legalism. It's about the message of repentance, for the kingdom of Yah is at hand. People need to be made aware what they need to turn away from doing. And like I said, it ain't smoking and drinking. They need to turn away from violating the commandments that we're talking about right here. And they talk about the command. You know, and it's funny, again, that's where you get into the buffet of the word, as the brother said years ago. They talk about keeping the commandments, but except for the fourth command, bribe. For a bribe blinds those who have sight and perverse the words of the righteous. You hear what's going on? All of these, and what we got to understand, all of these are extensions of the ninth command. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. These are the different ways that we do that. So somebody pays somebody off. You know, we hear about it via movies and TV shows. And I'm sure that it goes on in real life because a lot of fiction is based on fact, you know, things that really happen. So something's going on. And you just happen to have some money, and you just happen to know the judge or the prosecutor, and you just happen to, you know, hit them off with a little bit on to maybe keep their mouth shut. Maybe it's even the witness that you're going to pay off. Maybe it's one or more of the jurors you're going to do that with. It happens. But when people do that, you committing a crime in the eyes of the Creator. Forget about it being illegal according to the United States justice system. You are guilty in the eyes of the Most High. And a lot of times people think they're getting away with it. You may get away with it in this system. Trust, unless you repent, you're going to be pulled up about that at some point. And it's best for you to repent and be dealing with it now, opposed to in the future, while you still got breath in your lungs. This is the time you want to repent, because after you close them eyes, and if you stand before that judgment seat, and he pulling this one up for you, guess what, buddy? You messed up. You know, it becomes the mind. They got these little videos out, and I'm not going to say what they say, but some of y'all probably know it if you see it. And they say it was at that moment he knew he messed up. Of course, they don't say that, but you get the point. You don't want to be in that circumstance. You don't want to be in that situation. It was at that moment you knew you messed up. See? Because when it comes to the Creator and us, like the Messiah said, judging ourselves now that we be not judged. This is the time for that. Why do you think he got us going through the commandments? He wants to make sure that his people have the right tools necessary so that we can repent. Kingdom of Yah is at hand. Repent from what? Repent from breaking these Ten Commandments. That's what? That's the foundation of his Torah, these 10 words right here. Why do you think we're going through them? Where do you think these messages come from? Abba sees things, the need. So what he does, he gives his Moray the message because he sees the need. Why do you think the brother talking about the judgments of Yahweh? We got to take these things for what they are. This is real life here. We're not playing. People have real situations that they're dealing with. Brothers brought out a good point, one of the Moray. I'm going to share it with you, and I may not put it as eloquently as the brother put it, but it's a good point. For example, during this past week when we was at Sukkot, how many of you were aware this is the very last week of the season, campus season? Saturday night, when they packing up Sunday morning and they getting out of there by 1 o'clock, ain't nobody checking in that day. It's closed till the season open back up again. So we got in on the very last week. That's one thing. They changed the rules at the park. Okay? They changed them. Meaning, they have a specific capacity right now. So, if the number of people at the park reaches capacity, and let's just say you haven't gotten there yet, or you're not included in that number, you may have came and tried to come to serve. Let me back up for a minute. When the number reaches capacity, you can't even pay the park and just play on the playground or walk one of the trails. Once the park reaches capacity, they're not letting anybody else in. This is something fairly new, from my understanding. I thought that was interesting. And then on top of that, they just so happened to have a wedding last Shabbat. You know, depending on the amount of people that would have came for the wedding, there would have been a potential for some of our people to not have been let in. Now, none of that happened to the grace and mercy of the Most High, but because of the circumstance, because of what had been changed and these new rules, the brother got a revelation. The significance of what that means for us as believers. Because when you look at what the word teaches, it says that the righteous will scarcely be saved. And whenever I read that scripture, I always think about, you ever seen these movies when there's a door that's closing and they're trying to get through this door, and sometimes people, they run, they slide, or they roll under, and as soon as that last person get under that door, shoo! The door closes. It's like the righteous, you barely made it in. That's what the scripture says. In spite of everything that the Messiah did, we barely making it. And then it goes on a little further. If the righteous scarcely making it in, where then does the unrighteous and the ungodly appear? Can you imagine once that door closed and nobody else going in? So he gave us another example, Noah and his ark. Can you imagine being one of those people for 120 years, laughing and joking, making fun of Noah and his family for building this boat in the middle of the land? Having a good old time. Mocking. And then the next thing you know, something, you feel that one little drop. Whenever it's great rain, you always feel that one little drop first. We all experienced it. And can you imagine not having that being done before? And next thing you know, you feel a drop of water. You're like, what in the world is that? Where'd that come from? I'm in the middle of the lake. I'm not even by a lake. I'm not by a stream. I'm surely not at the coast by the ocean. Where did this drop of water come from? Did that one drop become two drops? That become four drops? Become eight drops? And then you just start drop. You don't know what. Remember, this is the first time that it rained. You don't know what's going on. But then you realize this rain is coming up damn hard and heavy. It wasn't a drizzle. It's coming like it was raining on Monday night, this past Monday. It's coming down hard and heavy. And this is new for you. And you're looking at that boat that was just built, that you was making fun of. And you trying to get your family together and get your little belongings together. And you running up there and you running toward that that door slowly closing. And you just hollering, wait, hold up. Don't close that door yet. Wait a minute. We want to get on it. We want to get on. We want to boom. And that's it. If I was, didn't leave it up to Noah. He shut it and he locked it. Now you standing out there and the rain is coming down hard and heavy and everything that's out there starting to see it, starting to pick up. It's at your ankles now. The knees now. You know, it's nowhere to go. And you probably bang it. Let us in. Let us in. Please. We're sorry. We're sorry. Forgive us. Forgive us. No. It's too late. Now it's up to your hips. And it just keeps going and it keeps going. And next day, you drown, your family drown, all your animals, everybody. People on the ark are saved, scarcely making it in. See? That's the message. Repent. See, as long as we have breath in our lungs, have you accepted Yahushua HaMashiach as your Savior and your Redeemer? Have you accepted him? That's how you get on the boat. That's how you get there. But some people may say, well, what about keeping the commandments. Of course. Once you accept him, you are required to do that. But you have to accept him still to get on the boat. But don't you have to keep the commandments to be saved too? Cross again. Right? See, tomorrow I promise to you. That's the reality. I had a conversation with a sister earlier today. Told me that somebody was supposed to have a conversation with somebody else. Turns out that conversation never happened because the person died. You don't know. Plan to do something tomorrow. You don't know that you're going to be here to do it. So if you accept Mashiach Yahushua right now, and you may say, I'm going to keep them commandments. Well, tomorrow may not come to give you the opportunity to keep the commandments, but at least you got the ticket to get on the boat. You understand? This is not saying you don't have to keep the commandments. Of course you do. That's another thing that I will require. See, if we have faith that the Messiah frees us from the bondage of sin, that means we're going to show our Torah. That's what that means. Contrary to what you've been told. You see? Hence, we're going to do the Ten Commandments. See? Talk a little bit more about some other things, Albert, and how Albert set up his system, you know, later on today, most high willing. But let's keep it going. He says, we stopped at verse 8. You shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds those who have sight, and perverse the words of the righteous. Again, going back to the mindset of the judgment. Excuse me. Verse 9. You shall not oppress an alien. Talking about a stranger, a foreigner. For you know the heart of an alien. Since you were aliens in the land of Mitzrayim. Okay? So all of these things, he's elaborating. He actually goes into something else after this particular verse and explain some other things, okay? But when he gets to this point in Exodus chapter 23, he is now elaborating on the ninth commandment, okay? Let's go to, you shall not go up and down as a slanderer among your people. Listen to that, a slanderer. Now think about that. Now you're getting into the area of gossip, okay? Everybody, well, I'm not going to say everybody, believers should not be doing that, of course. But everybody loves to gossip going on in somebody else's life. Only if it's bad, though. You're not really pressed to hear about the good things that happened with somebody. You know, you want to hear what they say. You want the tea. And the tea, from what I understand, the truth. So they say. You know, just like, matter of fact, we were talking yesterday. Somebody that died earlier this year was a part of the band called The Roots, was a founding member. And you didn't really hear much about it. You know, whoever he was, you know, and I'm not going to say they didn't put it on the news, but they didn't make it a big thing like they did for like maybe a DMX or somebody else who was more famous. You know, you didn't hear that much about it. So somebody got upset about that. And then next thing you know, they just start spilling the tea. All the stuff that's going on among your favorite celebrities. Now, we don't know whether or not those things are true. We don't know. And who is this person that we should believe what they say? But the fact did that, you know what they were doing? They were slandering. And literally, let me read this passage. He says, you shall not go up and down as a slanderer among your people. The King James Version says, a talebearer. Now, when it says going up and down, think about that. Think about the motion. going up and down. What comes to your mind? That should be a contextual clue there. Somebody else does, going back and forth, going to and fro, going up and down. It's the same thing. Somebody else does that, you know? Seeking whom he may devour. See that? So when we do that, who are we likened to? Follow me? Who are we likened to? So this person, they feel in some kind of way because this person getting this. Once somebody else didn't get the recognition, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up and down, and what they did when they went up and down, I'm going to go to this podcast. I'm going to go to this radio station. I'm going to tell all this stuff, all these things about your favorite celebrities. Whether it was true or not is actually irrelevant. Because what the person was doing, they were making a bad name for everybody that they talked about. Listen to what it says. You shall not go up and down as a slanderer among your people. You shall not endanger the life of your neighbor. I am Yahweh. Now, let's just say, for example, everything that this person said about these other people was true. This is where we have to come to the understanding. If those things really did happen, allow the traitor to be who he is and do what he gonna do. If they did those things and they haven't repented of it, how am I gonna deal with them? That's not your task to go up and down and tell everybody what they did. For what? To what event? What do you get from it? Other than in your mind hurting them, damaging them. That even happened. Some people were saying that she's crazy or something. I don't know. I don't know whether anything that she said about anybody is true. Is it possible? Sure. Is it true? Don't know. And to be honest with you, I'm not that concerned about it. Prayerfully, whoever she was talking about, get themselves together, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. But we got to be careful, you know, as believers, not to sit down and soak all of this in and then go back and forth saying the same thing. Now, that's on a more larger scale, what I mentioned as far as this person talking about the celebrities. Sometimes it happens among us. See, we have rules that we're supposed to follow. The Most High say, if there's an issue between you and somebody else in the congregation, these are the steps that you need to take. Go talk to that person one-on-one. Work this out with your brother, with your sister. This is what he says to do. If you talk to that and y'all weren't able to iron out this issue that's going on, then he said, go back, get one or two other people. Now you bring them with you. And y'all talk about this issue and try to iron it out. Hopefully, you know, you're able to get, you know, get it sorted out. If not, now you bring this person, and it says in the King James Version before the church, excuse me, it's not talking about the church as if in the congregation, like all the members. No, it's talking about the elders, the leadership, because now this issue has, I'm going to make a comparison. You have an issue, and you may go to the civil court, you may go to the city court, and you know they didn't take care of it in the city court, then you're going to go take it a little higher. You're going to go to the state court. And they didn't take care of it in the state court, so you're going to go to the high, and you're going to take it to the federal court, Supreme Court now. You understand? That's what it's like. But except you're not dealing so much with the government. These are the organizations that are established in the congregation of Yisrael. See? So if you have that issue, that's what you do. But sometimes what people do, if they have an issue with somebody, instead of going to talk to that person about it, they're going to talk to brother so-and-so or sister such-and-such. You just made a mistake. Put some business out there, and you didn't go through the proper channels. That's not how you're supposed to do it. Because here's the reason why that's incorrect. When you're telling whosoever about whatever was going on, normally what people do is present themselves as the victim. And for the person listening, if somebody brings something to you, one of the first things you need to say is, say, hope, pump your brakes. Have you talked to that person about this yet? If you haven't talked to the person about it, you need to stop telling me about it, and you need to go talk to that person right now about that. Okay? These are the things we need to do. Okay? We don't want to feed into, what? Brother so-and-so did what? Sister such-and-such said what to you? She got the nerve, and then now something's happening. Now, you had an issue with sister so-and-so or brother such-and-such. You done went and talked to this person about it. Now, you done presented it in a form and a fashion that makes them look at you as being a victim, not hearing the whole other side of the story. Now, they feel in some kind of way. You see what's happening? It's spreading. That's why Abba don't want us doing those types of things. See? He says, let's go to another Tehillim, Psalms 15, starting at verse 1. This is Dawid. Listen to this. He's singing about this. A song by Dawid. Yahweh, who shall dwell in your sanctuary? Who shall live on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly, does what is right, and speaks truth in his heart. Add that truth again, right? Verse 3, he who doesn't slander Israel. Back in the day, David had to make a song about it. We were just talking about that too. You know, we had a lot of good conversations, like I said. You know, we were talking about a living color, and somebody had mentioned, you know, what a song about it. Want to hear it? Here it goes. Well, that's what David said. Something going on in the congregation of Israel. Wrote a song about it. You want to hear it? Here it go. He says, he who doesn't slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his friend, nor casts slurs against his fellow man. David had to put it in a song because this is what Israel was doing. Listen to that. This is what they were doing. If they wasn't doing it, he wouldn't have had to sing about it. This was a problem. It is still a problem among Israel today. Ain't nothing changed. Wendy Williams making money doing it. Money. They getting paid for it. We think those Inquirer, the National Inquirer magazine. They even got a website called Gossip. Black Gossip. This is what we do. People don't even realize that's wrong. That's how far gone humanity is. They don't even realize that is a crime in the eyes of the Most High. Think about it. How many of us realize that's a crime in the eyes of the Most High? How many of us yourselves, don't look at anybody around you, consider yourself. Because see, here's the other thing we got to come to grips with. We as individuals can only control what we do, period. I can't control what my children do. I can't control what my grandchildren do. I can't control what my siblings do. I couldn't control what my wife did. Surely couldn't control my parents. I can only control what I do. So when we are learning the word, when we hear the word coming forth, don't look around at what everybody else is doing. Look in the mirror. Focus on what you are doing, because you can only control what you do. You control what you think. You control what you say. You control you. And what Abba requires of us is to have truth in our hearts. We want to be in the same mind and have the same judgment. This is what he requires. Let's keep going. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. Listen to this. One who brings gossip betrays a confidence. Listen to that. One who betrays a confidence. Here's what people like to do. Somebody tell you something that you consider to be juicy. You know? No sooner than they let you know, you cannot wait to tell somebody else. This is what we say. Don't tell nobody I told you. As a matter of fact, that going back to, go right back to A Living Color. You know, one of the Wayans sisters used to play this character. I can't remember her name, but she used to always talk about Miss Jenkins. And then she'd say, you ain't heard it from me, though. You know, and they make light of it. They make a joke about it. But these characters that you've seen on the show, they were actually mimicking people that they had experience with in their life growing up. You have people in the neighborhood who are ready to tell you about everything that's going on, but then they say, you ain't here for me, though. And then it gets out. So you, and when you tell somebody that, you may even say, don't say nothing. You got to promise me not to say nothing to somebody else. Hold up. When they told you, didn't they tell you the same thing? Now you're going to turn around and trust somebody else to not do what you yourself didn't do? Think about it. That's how we are. Humanity. Insane. He said, one who brings gossip betrays the confidence, but one who is of a trustworthy spirit is one who keeps a secret. You see? Think about that. When you are trustworthy to an individual, there are things that you're never going to say about an individual. You're never going to say it. You want to keep that, especially if it's something that somebody wanted to keep confidential. You're not going to say it. But that shows the type of individual you are, right? Let's go down to chapter 20 and verse 19. Listen to this one. It says, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, don't keep company with him who opens wide his lips. Listen to that. This is coming from Proverbs. Solomon. Again, if it wasn't going on in Israel, why is David talking about it? Why is Solomon talking about it? It was happening among our forefathers. And you know, when I read this passage in particular, the first thing that came to mind was, let's do it again. And going back to our little conversations, we were talking about the movies and stuff like that, right? Well, I think it was Flip Wilson character who said, loose lips sink ships. That's the first thing that came to my mind when I read Proverbs 20:19. Loose lips sink ships. Where do you think they get that from? The word. All these little sayings, these so-called cliches, they come from the word. You'd be surprised. Proverbs chapter 6. And we're going to start wrapping it up. Where does the time go? Okay. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16. There are six things which Yahweh hates. That's a strong word. You know? And when you think about it, we understand that Yahweh is love. Yah is love. Okay? We understand that. It's a part of their character, right? Again, their personality. Yahweh hates something. You do not want to be associated with it at all. Does everybody agree with that? You're talking about the mighty one of love who hates something. There are six things which Yahweh hates. Yes. Seven which are an abomination to him. Now, we want to look at that word abomination. Number 8441 in the Hebrew lexicon, the word is toeva. Okay? And it means, it says properly, something disgusting. Listen to that. Morally, that is an abhorrence, especially idolatry or idol. So this is what we got to understand, all right? Because of the word and its association with that, as far as the term, an abomination. And then at the end of the definition, it says especially idolatry or an idol. Whatever we are about to read, the Most High equates it with idolatry. This is what we got to understand, okay? Now, this word in 8441 is derived from another word, 8581. Now, that word is to loathe. That is morally detest. This word expresses a strongly detestable activity or the logical response to such an activity. All right? Now, for this one, what I want to do before I finish reading this passage out, I want you to put your finger there, and we want to run to Revelation chapter 17 and verse 5. And we just want to make this comparison, right? It says, and I want y'all to put a pin in this right here. And on her forehead, a name was written, Babylon the Great, the mother of the prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. Listen to that. Meditate on that. Ask Abba to open your mind, open your heart to receive what he's saying right here. Okay? Now, then we're going to go back to Proverbs. So Torah teaches us that two women are in the world today. Okay? Take your mind back to what we were discussing on Shabbat. And this is further proving or substantiating what we discussed. Again, think about the two women. Each woman symbolizes a group of people, right? This woman that we're reading about specifically, Yahushua, okay? Now, the fact that this woman also has offspring, right, is another witness to the seed of the serpent. Think about that. What we were talking about. We had the discussion about the two seeds in the earth. One of those seeds, of course, is the Most High seed. But then the other seed is the seed of the serpent. This woman that is described is described as being the mother of harlots and abominations. So whatever we are about to read in Proverbs chapter 6, this woman is the mother of the seven abominations that the Most High hates. Think about that. Now, the word translated as abomination in the Greek language, you find it in number 946. That word is delugma. And it's derived from 948, which we will look at as well. It simply means a detestation, that is specifically idolatry. Hear that? Now, number 948, that word is deluso. And it means to stink. Think about that. Now, this is what we want to do. It means to stink, right? So now, let's make a comparison. In the tabernacle or the temple, you had what was called the altar of incense. The altar of incense, a sweet-smelling fragrance that went up into the nostrils of the Most High, so to speak, right? But on the flip side, we have something else. We have an abomination, and the abomination stinks to the Most High. So not only are we being taught about this duality, you have two women. You have two families. One family, of course, is representing the Most High, but this other family is a mother, is a family of harlots. Think about that. The other family is a family of abomination, and they are in the nostrils of the Creator. Like I said, put a pin in that. Hold on to that. We're going to revisit that. Okay? Now, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. All right, let's read through these abominations. It says, there are six things which Yahweh hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Arrogant eyes. That's number one, eyes. So we know that has some connection to pride, right? Pride is being equated to idolatry, and it stinks. And it is a characteristic of the other group of people on the earth, right? But then he says, Lashon Shaker, a lying tongue. You hear that? Now, the word Shaker, this is the same word when you go back to the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. The word translated false is the same word, Shaker. You find that in number 8267. The word is Shaker again. It says, an untruth, by implication, a sham. And it's derived from number 8266. That word is shakar, which means to cheat. That is to be untrue. The notion of a treacherous or deceptive activity forms the fundamental meaning of this word. Let me read that again. This is the word shakar, which is the foundation for the word shakir, which also means false in the ninth commandment. The notion of a treacherous or deceptive activity forms the fundamental meaning of this word. Okay? Now, going to John, Yohanan, chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 39 to 45, and you will get the picture. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Yahushua saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I have heard of Elohim. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even Elohim. Yahushua said unto them, if Elohim were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from Elohim. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Do you hear that? Do you see what's going on? Put a pin in this one too. Okay? Let's go to Bereshit chapter 2, verse 15. Genesis 2:15. And Yahweh Elohim took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden, and Yahweh Elohim commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now let's compare. Genesis 3:4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You hear that? This is a direct contradiction of what the Most High told them. What are we learning? What are you hearing? Okay? Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. You hear that? Let's keep moving. Proverbs, I'm going to finish this up. He says, now we got two of them, right? We got arrogant eyes. That's one thing that's an abomination. Next one is a lying tongue. Okay? The next abomination, it says, hands that shed innocent blood. That's the third. And as I'm reading these, keep in mind that that woman, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations in the earth. All right? Verse 18, Proverbs 6:18. A heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are swift and running to mischief. So we got five. There's two more left. The next one, verse 19. Vim et shaker. A false witness who utters lies. Again, that word shaker comes from shaker. I mean false, I'm sorry. The word false comes from shaker, right? But then it says a false witness who utters lies. Now this, again, specifically directed to the ninth command. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, right? This is saying a false witness who utters lies. Now, the word translated as lies here is kezavim. Now, you look this up, number 3577, the word kezav simply means a falsehood, right? It says literally untruth or figuratively idle. Now, again, I encourage you all to take notes. Give you the passage. You should write that down. When I give you the reference from the Strong's Hebrew or Greek lexicon, you should write that down so you can go back and you can look at it on your own. Okay? Now, as we were going through the lesson today, have you all noticed how much the term idolatry keeps coming up as it did in the other commands? You notice that in words that would appear to be unrelated, but it is connected to idolatry. Think about that. Let me read something to you. This is coming from 1 Corinthians, starting at chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifies. And if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love Elohim, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other than Elohim. There is none other Elohim but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in the heavens or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one power, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Adonai, Yahushua HaMashiach, by whom are all things, and we by him. Okay? Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Brother Shaul, he's still talking about the same thought. 10, verse 19. He says, what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered and sacrificed to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to Elohim. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of Adonai and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of Adonai's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke Adonai to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Okay, they don't exist. These gods, these lords that people are worshiping, there is no other God, there is no other Lord, there is no other power other than Yah. There's Yahushua HaMashiach. There's another. And who is it that people are worshiping? Devils, demons, the adversary. Okay? Let's go to Devarim, which is Deuteronomy. Listen to this passage. Then we're going to finish up. For Yahweh Elohim, Yahweh your mighty one. Elohim ha-Elohim. It says, is mighty one of mighty ones, God of gods. Who Adonai ha-Adonim. And Lord of lords, Ha'al Gadol, a great mighty one, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. So think about that. There's a lie that's being told in the world, family. Think about this. Anytime somebody teaches another individual about any mighty one other than the mighty one of Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, they are guilty of lying to their neighbor, number one, their associate. Okay? They're guilty of that. They are guilty of bearing false witness their neighbor. Well, how is that bearing false witness against their neighbor? They're not saying anything about the neighbor. Why is it against their neighbor? They are instilling within that neighbor something that is going to kill them. Let's be frank. If our belief is not in the creator of the heavens and the earth who gave a sacrifice for our sin, if we don't believe in him, who do we believe? Okay? Who do we believe? So this is the sixth one, Proverbs 6:19 again. A false witness who utters lies, and this is the last one, he who sows discord among brothers. When you get a chance, read Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. Learn, study what these seven abominations are, and you'll get a good idea of exactly what that woman that we read in Revelation is doing in this world. All seven of these abominations, okay? But we went there because it specifically mentioned the lying tongue, and then it doubled down and mentioned a false witness who utters lies. Do you understand how significant having truth in your heart is to the Most High? Think about that. Okay? Says in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 18, a man that bears false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Now, I'm going to leave this one with y'all to look up because I'm running out of time. Okay? So that is your homework. Look up these passages, Proverbs 25:18, and define what this is saying. A man that bears false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. Right? We'll stop right here. Hallelujah. Be'ashem Yahushua HaMashiach. Gracious and merciful Father, Holy One of Israel. We thank you for the blessing of fellowship on your high holy day. As we have entered into the last great day, Abba, I pray that we all are able to have a peaceful slumber. I pray that we all dream of your word, your truth. Reveal to us, Abba. Bear witness to us, Abba, what it is that we as individuals, as well as we collectively, need to know to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our walk, that we continue with you in all that we do, Abba. We humbly and we sincerely ask you these things. Be'ashem Yahushua HaMashiach. Hallelujah.
Stay on my 2 Corinthians 13 and 5. Everybody say that they can't wait. Would you be ready if he came back today? You better take advantage of this grace and check your spirit. You know.